I want to talk to you today about the significance of Jesus Christ raising from the dead. The reality is Jesus Christ went to the cross. He suffered incredibly. All our sin was placed upon him. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. That is reality. I want to talk to you about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is our hope. You know, it's so interesting. We have a banner. We placed a huge banner this Easter season on the side of our church, and people driving by, they can see it. It's huge. And what I wanted is I wanted to share with everyone in the city driving by that we as a church were aware of what was going on and that we were praying for our city. And as I talked to Tamara about what the banner would say, I love her her direction. And the banner says we're praying for our city. And that's certainly a good thing. But I love what she said to me. She said, you know, Drew, the reality is we are living in a time when people need hope. You see, this is can be a great time, really, of advancement for us in the kingdom. That people would, because here's the problem. People are so self-reliant. And that self-reliance causes them to think that they don't need God. Let me tell you what, everyone needs God. And in the midst of this coronavirus, where they're not sure, they have so many questions. You know what, for a long time they weren't sure how it was transported. They're still figuring it out. They have no antidote. They have no real solution. They're doing the best that they can, and we need to pray for the medical field and the fabulous job that they're doing and the brave job that they're doing right now. But here's what I want to say. They don't have the answer. And the reality to all kinds of things, man doesn't have the answer. We think that we do, but we don't. And in this situation, it's actually a glorious thing in that we can come to ourselves and recognize, oh my goodness, we need help. And so as we were discussing what we were going to put on this banner, and we are praying for Pico Rivera. You know what? We're praying for our city on one side, but the other side, we put this is so good. You know what? That Jesus is our hope. This morning, let me say this. Jesus is your hope. And without him, you can do nothing. Without him, your life is really just empty. It's interesting because when I read Matthew's account, and we're going to read it in a minute, of the resurrection of Christ, there seems to be this recurring question, this recurring subject over and over and over again. And here's what I want to ask you. I want to ask you today, will you believe Jesus? Will you believe Jesus? Now, wait a minute. Before you answer that question, I just want you to ponder that question. And I want you to do, you know, sometimes we just respond in the positive sometimes. Yo, yeah. You know, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe Jesus. But today, before you just answer it that quickly, I want you to ponder it in your mind a little bit and be real with yourself. Will you believe Jesus? Will you believe, you know what, that here's a great question. Will you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Will you believe that? Will you believe the promises that God has promised you? Today, will you believe Jesus? And it's a great question. I want to show it to you. Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and starting with verse 1. But before we, as you're finding your place in Matthew chapter 16, we'll start in verse 1. I want to say this. The reason that I'm asking this morning is because it's such a vital question. You see, believing God is the currency of the kingdom of God. How? If you claim to be a Christian, how did you become a Christian? You believed that Jesus died for your sins. You asked him in your heart, and God made that provision through Jesus Christ. But when you did those things, you opened up God's provision for you that you could become a Christian and live with him forever. See, the question really, to some extent, isn't did Jesus raise from the dead or did he not? Let me proclaim the truth. The truth is, whether you believe it or not, Jesus rose from the dead. The tomb is absolutely empty. There were over 500 eyewitnesses that saw Jesus after he was buried, living in Jerusalem. They saw him, over 500 eyewitnesses. Let me tell you what, the reality is Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But that's not my question for you today. My question for you is, will you believe this Easter morning that Jesus rose from the dead? Turn with me, I hope you found your place. You know what, at home in Mark chapter 16. And I want you to notice how many times this comes up in this reading. Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 1. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" They were thinking, man, how are we even gonna get this these spices in that we could put this on the dead body of Jesus. And so they were concerned with that. But verse 4, look what it says. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. They're like, oh, praise God. The stone's already rolled away. Watch this. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. Verse 6, but he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." Notice this angel says, "as he said to you." Verse 8, so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. Verse 11, here's what I want you to see. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they Do you see it? They did not believe. Look at this next verse. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now watch this. Verse 13. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not, do you see it? But they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at a table. Now catch this, because you're going to see how important this is. Let me tell you why believing what God says is so critical to God. Because God knows if you will not believe what he said, even though it is the truth, the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. But if you won't believe God and what he said, then guess what? All the blessings that God has for you never manifest in your life because of your doubt and your unbelief. You can't, listen, you cannot read this 16th chapter and not get blown away with the main thing that Jesus wants to deal with. Here, imagine this. These men have been told repeatedly. I can show it to you in Mark. I can show it to you in Matthew. And both Mark and Matthew, you know what, talk about him at some point in Jesus, at some point in time, him specifically telling them repeatedly that he was going to go to the cross, he was going to suffer, and he was going to die, and in 3 days, God was going to raise him from the dead. Very, very specific, over and over and over. Now, they have a lady, not just some lady, not just any lady, but they have a lady who has been touched by the power of God in a radical way. She is close to them. They know who she is. And she tells them that Jesus, she saw Jesus. And what's their response? We don't believe you. And then they are confronted again with others that are close to them that saw Jesus in a not the same incident, in a separate incident. And these two go to them and they're excited to tell them, and what's their response? They ain't gonna believe her. They ain't gonna believe them. And then Jesus comes on the scene. And Jesus is like, what's up? That no. This is not something that we're not going to deal with. How many of you are watching? You might not even know why you're watching. And you question the raising of Jesus from the dead. You question whether Jesus can come in your heart and change you from the inside out. You question that you're not even sure of this and other things that Jesus Christ has said, other things that he's promised. You know what? Your friends are believers in Christ, and you've seen the change in their life, but there's part of you that just thinks, they're just hyped. They're just psyched. You know what I mean? That's an old 80s word. You know what? They're just psyched. They're just pumped. You know, and they're just, you know what? They just need that. You know what? It's what one of the persons in charge of the Communist Party said, that you know what? That religion is a crutch, you know what, for people who aren't very strong. And there's part of you, you know what, you kind of want to believe in the supernatural. But there's part of you that thinks, I just don't know. You know what? Jesus raising, God raising Jesus from the dead. I don't know why I believe any of that stuff. me tell you what. Today is the day. Today is your day. Today is your day that you would start to put your trust in Jesus Christ and start to believe what he says. And notice, these are, watch this, because this is, listen to me, mom, listen to me, dad, listen to me, grandpa, listen to me, granny, listen to me, 8-year-old and 12-year-old and 13-year-old and 28-year-old. Don't get too big for your britches. Don't think you know everything. Don't think that you're right and Jesus is wrong. Just the opposite. I don't care how unbelievable it seems. Get to the place where if Jesus said it, you believe it. Because if that's the place you're going to be, then let me tell you what, you're going to be in, you're going to start to walk in the supernatural. You know what? I love Hope Community Church. Let me tell you why. Because we're a believing church that believes the uncompromised word of God. We believe all the promises of God. And we believe it even if we lean not unto our own understanding. We walk by faith and not by sight. You say, Pastor, that's so illogical. No. What seems foolish to you, the Bible calls, is the wisdom of God. Let me tell you what, and Jesus has spent all this time with these 11 men. He's about to leave, and he is not going to let this go. Because he knows how critical this is. He knows that the hope of Jesus Christ in our life is the hope that believes what he says. Look at it in verse 14. Later, he, Jesus, appeared to the 11. See, can I tell you the truth? Jesus rose from the dead. And they're going to be confronted with the truth. Jesus is going to be right in their face. Now what you got to say, Jackson? Amen? Oh, I feel like preaching today. Let me tell you what. You are going to sit before God someday. There will be a day and you're going to sit before God and you're going to give an account to your life. Get on God's side. He's on your side. Stop resisting. The one who really loves you to the degree that no one else loves you. Stop resisting him. And so he looks at the 11 and he's going to make a correction. Because let me tell you what. I told you I would die. I told you I would suffer. I told you I would be dead for 3 days. And I told you I was going to be risen from the dead. And what I expect you to do is be among the first who believed Mary, the first who believed those other witnesses. You should have been so quick, you should have said, oh, hallelujah, Mary, show us where he is. Jesus is like, no. We'll have a little discussion. Verse 14, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And he, what's he do? Rebuked their what? Let me tell you what. You know what you see in Mark's description of this? You see a focus led by the Holy Spirit of this believing and unbelief. Jesus isn't going to leave. He only has, at this point in time, you know what, he's about to get out of here. He only has so many things that he can say to the apostles at this point. And at this point, I tell you what he's going to do. He's going to say, no, guys, sit on down. I've got some correction to make. Maybe some of you, you know what, have been saved for 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, 12 years, 20 years, 30 years. And yet, there's some things in your life that you have backed off. Maybe you haven't seen God fulfill what he has promised you. And you've thought, oh, no, it's been too long. I guess I missed it. I want to say to you, you haven't missed it. I want to say, don't grow weary in doing good. I want to say to you, hear the correction. Could this correction be not only to these 11 men? Could this correction be to you? Have you given up on your marriage? Have you given up on your kids? Have you given up on your grandkids? Has God put a dream in you? Have you decided that plan A isn't going to work? So you came up with plan B that was never God's plan in the first place? Can you allow God to not only correct these 11 men, but can you allow God possibly, I don't know what you're going through, but here's what I do know. If you proclaim to have made Jesus your Lord, then God is speaking to you today and saying, I want you to believe not some of my promises, not most of my promises, but I want you to believe all of my promises. All right, we're going to get to it, I promise. And he rebuked their, what? Unbelief. And watch this, and hardness of heart. Unbelief will make your heart hard. You'll start to argue with God. Because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Again, why is he rebuking them? Because he told them personally what he was going to do. He expected when these eyewitnesses said, we saw Jesus raised from the dead, they would have been the first to say, hallelujah, he is risen. You know what you hear? Hallelujah, he's risen. He's risen indeed. That's what he expected them to say. Yes, absolutely, he's risen indeed. Verse 15. And he said to them, now, many times we start off with this 15. We do this all the time in the Word because, you know what, you always have to leave something out unless you're going to start in Genesis and read to Revelation, and you can't do that because you got to sleep, right? So we always do this. We got to start somewhere. And many times we say, well, let's open up our Bibles to Mark chapter 16 and let's go to the 15th verse. We understand that. But today we're not going to do that. Today what I want to do is I want to catch this 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th verse in context of this thought of these guys won't believe. These guys won't believe. These guys won't believe. Then Jesus comes in and corrects them for their unbelief. Now watch this. How many know this is all in the same day? Watch this. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Look at your neighbor, say, same subject. Same subject. Watch. He who what? Come on, say it at home. He who what? He who believes and is baptized will be saved. What I said earlier, you know, this is so important because anything you receive from God, you receive God by believing. That is how you receive. That is, you know what, how it works, how the kingdom works. He who believes, watch this, he who believes, verse 16, and is baptized will be saved. But he who, you see it, does not believe will be condemned. Man, is it any clearer than that? Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about how you get born again. But watch this, because he's going to add, not just, this is not just how you get born again. This is how you receive anything in the supernatural. Watch this. Look at verse 17. And these signs will follow. And he's going to list all these supernatural things. Excuse me. These supernatural things that are going to follow everyone. No, there's this very specific, you know what, criteria to meet. And look what it is. And these signs will follow those who believe. Do you see this? Guys, who is our hope? Our hope is Jesus Christ. But make no mistake. To believe in Jesus Christ is to believe what he says. And to believe what he says puts you in a hole. I mean, thank God for it. Because today can be a different day than yesterday was. Today can be a day that you watch this start to walk from the natural. See, yesterday all you did was depend upon yourself. That's how come you got that goofball boyfriend. Amen. That's how come you have that ungodly girlfriend. That's how come, you know what, your finances are in a mess. That's how come your life is a mess. That's how come you're miserable, because you have spent your life figuring it out. And you call your girlfriends and you call your boyfriends and you call your family members and you get all kinds of counsel that is ungodly counsel. This Bible says, blessed is the man who doesn't counsel with the ungodly. Today can be the first day of the rest of the life where you step out of this dependency on you and you step into this dependency on God. How many know when you step into God's dependency, your life is going to get way better? Amen. Come on, say amen at home. Okay? You see somebody sleeping, you shake them up right now. Now is it not the time to go to sleep, mama? Amen. Verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. It's interesting to me, watch this, because he makes a separation between how many know God is very specific in what he says? And he wants to make this separation to say, now let me tell you, this is how you get saved, you gotta believe. But then he recognizes that there is, that you can believe God for your salvation and yet still not believe God for other things in your life. I'm just reading the text. I didn't make that separation. God makes that separation. In verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Then he says, look at verse 17, and these signs. You know what and means? And is a continuation of the thought, but he separated it out. Amen. If I say, hey, get me a pizza and a Coke, the meal is one, but how many know the pizza's not the Coke? Come on, somebody. I know so many believers that believe God in certain areas in their life, but in other areas in their life, they're just like, oh, man. Many of them, I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but many of them believe God for all kinds. You believe God that he rose from the dead, you've asked him into your heart, you're a believer. But you don't believe that God can bring you a spouse. See, that one you figured out yourself. Amen. You're believing God that he's your savior and he's the one. But as far as, you know what, your finances, you think that you're going to figure it out by yourself. You see, God says, no, there's these supernatural signs. And they're not going to follow everybody. They will follow, they can follow everybody, but it's not automatic. It's up to you to believe my words. Who, put it in context, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the 11 who just got done not believing that his words, where he said, I'm going to raise from the dead. And now he's looking at them eye to eye, face to face, and he's saying, let me tell you guys, you know what? This is how you're going to step into this. You know what he's saying? Guys, stop acting like you're acting. Stop being unbelievers. Verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. What is this? What is this a list of? This is a list. You can't drink something deadly and it not hurt you naturally. What is this? This is supernaturally. You can't step on a scorpion and not be in the hospital. You know what? Or dead. What do you have to do? You've got to start believing for the supernatural. What are we doing? That's what we do at Hope. We believe for the supernatural. Why? If Jesus said it, we want to believe it. We don't want to be corrected by Jesus Christ. I don't want to sit in front of God and God say, you know what your problem was, Pastor? You just wouldn't believe. Amen. I told you this story. I'll tell you this story again. We had plans to do the outdoor project. We were at Timeless Architecture. They were helping us. And you know what? We had three plans. They had a smaller plan and a medium-sized plan and a large plan. And we talked, and one of the men from Timeless, I appreciate him so much. He's just trying to help, not trying to walk in unbelief, but it wants to help make sure that this project gets accomplished. And he said, you know what? I've got all these projects in the back of all these dreams that all these pastors had, and none of them came to fruition because of a lack of finances. And I thought, wow, that makes a lot of sense. I don't want the small one, but let's take the medium one. Then I got home. And for the next, I think, 2 days, the Holy Spirit just said, you know what? You do not want, you. The medium one is not what you need. You're going to need every square foot of land. Now step out in faith and trust me for the finances. You know what? And call that guy back and say, hey, you know the medium plan? Scrap it and go with the large plan. Listen, I'm not saying I do this perfectly, because I don't. You know what? Sometimes I feel like that man who said, Lord, I believe. And then right after he said, oh, my unbelief. I feel that way sometimes. But when I read this, this story of Jesus Christ raising from the dead, the thing that just comes out and it jumps out at me, because it's all in that context of the passage, is this unbelief. Watch this, verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. Here's what I want you to catch. The Lord working with them and confirming the word, watch this, through the accompanying signs. Amen. Now, why is that happening? Here's why. Because I believe they got it. We see the great example right in the third chapter of Acts, where Peter and John are going, they're just going to pray. And that guy who hasn't walked, you know what? He's begging. And they say, we don't have any money, but that which we have, we give you. What they have? You know what they had? They had the promise that Jesus gave them to lay hands on the sick and they would recover. So, Pastor, but how do you know that's going to happen? How do you have the boldness to do that? What if it doesn't happen? See the problem? And don't argue with me. Argue with the text. Because let me tell you what, this is good hermeneutics. It's throughout the Word of God. Look at, guys in the back, go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And start with verse 4. Go to verse 4 first, and then I'll show them verse 3. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. You see that? That's you. But how does this happen? And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What is the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith. What's our faith? Our ability to simply not be moved by what we see, but to believe what God said in his word. That's what faith is. It's just trusting God. How many believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? Do you believe that Jesus raised from the dead today? Well, if you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, then believe everything else that he promised us. Amen. Now, watch this. I did this on purpose. Go back to verse 3, and I hope you have your shoes on tight, because you're about to jump out of your shoes right now. Watch this. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments, they're not burdensome. That is a powerful passage, but you put it in context to verse 4 and it becomes more powerful. Stop thinking that when God commands you to do something, it's a bad thing. No, it's a wonderful thing. That, watch this. If you'll be obedient to do what God has asked you to do, then you are going to overcome the world. That's why it's not burdensome. Oh my goodness, you have victory in Christ Jesus if you will believe what God says. Praise the Lord. Some may say, I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. Some may say, I believe everything else that God said also. Amen. Turn to John chapter 6 with me. John chapter 6. Are you getting something out of this? Somebody look at your friend, your neighbor, your aunt, your uncle in the same room. Say, I'll tell you what, this is good. This is good. John chapter 6, look at verse 26. Look at verse 26. John chapter 6, I'll give you a chance to find it. You know why? Because I got to find it. John chapter 6. And look at verse 26. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly. You know what that means? Hey, guys, believe what I'm going to tell you right now. Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the sign, but because you ate the loaves and we're filled. I know what you were about. You're about having a, you know, all-you-can-eat bunch of lunch. That's what you were about. Do you labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which is the Son of Man, will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. He's saying, let me tell you what. Stop seeking food and start recognizing me, because I'm the one who's going to satisfy you. Verse 28, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Oh my goodness, I found this yesterday. I about did 3 laps around the church. This is a great question. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? What's important to God? You want to do something? You want to please God? You want to do his work? Are you ready for this? Here's what it is. Are you ready? And Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe him whom he sent. You want to do the work of God? Who did God send? Jesus. He said, you want to do the work of God? Here's what I want you to do. Start believing what I say. Oh my goodness. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And look at verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy. Now here's, before I go into it, let me say this. What did the centurion have? All he had was the word of God that God was going to heal his servant. See, some of you have all kinds of circumstances and you are allowing the circumstances in your life dictate to you what is going to happen in the future. And instead, you ought to allow the word of God to dictate to you what's going to happen in the future. Amen? Because let me tell you what, the word of God is more true than your circumstances. And the sooner you get a hold of that reality is the sooner that you're going to start to walk in the supernatural power of God, which is what he intends you to walk in. Paul writes and says, I'm writing to men that are acting like mere men. God doesn't expect us to act like mere men. God expects us to walk, you know what, like Jesus walked in the supernatural. You say, whoa, that's irreverent to Jesus. No, Jackson. Pastor, you're out of order. No, Jackson, you're out of order. Because Jesus said, the same works that I do, I'm just quoting Jesus, the same works that I do, you'll do, and greater works. God never intended us to just work on our mind, our intelligence, our wit. No, God wants to lead us supernaturally. Look at this. Verse 8. Oh, what did the centurion have? All he had was the word of God. Look at verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man understanding authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to the one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Then when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed. Now, what's he doing? He's saying, guys, check this out. Check this dude out who you might have a better background as far as, you know what your religious affiliation is. But let me tell you what, it don't make any difference about your religious affiliation. It don't make any difference how long you've been saved. Some of you have been saved for a week. And God is speaking to you and saying, hey guys, you know what? I'll do this for you if you'll believe me. Amen. Look what he says. Look what he says. And Jesus heard it and marveled and said to those following, now it's going to have a coaching moment. Assuredly, I say to you, do you see it again? Assuredly, I say to you. Why? Because he knows he's swimming upstream. He knows these guys' aunts and uncles and neighbors and nephews are all going to say, no, you're crazy. You know what? You can't function that way. But Jesus is going to say, I don't care what your uncle says. I don't care what your aunt says. I don't care what your nephew says. Here's the reality. That's why he says, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. He's saying, even the people that ought to have it together and trust me, you know what? And yet the centurion is rocking it. Watch this. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. What is he saying? He's saying, let me tell you what. Let me tell you what. I'll take anyone. I don't care where they're from. God don't care where you're from. God doesn't care other people are saying, well, you know what, you can't do that. You're just there. You just graduated from Pioneer High School. You can't walk in the supernatural. You can't believe those things. You can't build an outdoor project over 3,000 square feet. You can't grow a church. You know what I mean? You can't. All this naysayers. You know what I mean? Let me tell you what. If you'll just have the integrity to believe, I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. I know who you are. And I know what I put in your heart. So stop allowing this external situations to dictate to you and start to act like this guy. He doesn't have a religious pedigree. He's just some dude who just will believe God's word. I don't know what it was about 4 years ago. God spoke to me. I never forget where I was, and I started recognizing, oh my goodness, God is speaking to me. And I started writing it down. And we have that prophecy. It's an amazing prophecy. One of the things he promised, he said, as God does this supernatural work in your church, that God is going to raise up just regular Joes. See, God's not looking at your background. God's not looking at the outside. He's too busy looking on the inside. And I say to you that many will come from the east, from the west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. Whoa. What was my original question? What did we start with? Will you believe Jesus? Man, we need to take these words. You know, are you seeing this? And the sons of the kingdom will be cast out of darkness. Can I tell you what? Unbelief is a big deal to Jesus. Where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you believed, let it be done to you. And the servant, watch this, and the servant was healed when? Are you catching this? Turn with me. You're almost there. Flip on over a couple pages to Matthew chapter 13. Come on, are you learning something? Somebody convicted. Is the Holy Spirit convicting you from the inside out? Matthew chapter 13. Well, it can't be verse 54, can it? Well, let me just tell you this story. When Jesus goes, there it is. We got it. Gosh, why don't I have it in my Bible? Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. Okay. Thanks, guys, in the back. You're on it. Amen. Matthew chapter 54. And he came to his own country. He taught them in the synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? See, looking at the outward appearance. God doesn't care you're the carpenter's son. God cares about what he put inside you. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a love, a power, and a sound mind. And he said, verse 54, and he came to his own country and taught them in the synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty, what? mighty works. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And did we see her in the grocery store last week? And his brothers, James, Simon, and Judas? Watch this, verse 56. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Guys, where then did this man get all these things? Watch this. See, they're going to allow doubt and unbelief to hinder. That's why Jesus was talking to the 12. That's why this belief was so important. He can't just go and not correct them. So they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now here's what I want you to get to. Look at it. Look at it. I'm not making this up. Now he did not do many mighty works. Stop right there. Oh, because Jesus didn't want to do mighty works then. See, you can't narrate the Bible when the Holy Spirit narrates the Bible. Good hermeneutics, you can't say why these things didn't happen when God is going to tell us why they didn't happen. And listen, I don't know who am I speaking to. And you've got to have integrity hermeneutically to study the Word of God correctly and allow the Word of God to tell you what the answer is instead of you superseding the answer into the text. The text tells, let God be true. Now he, verse 58, now he did not do mighty works there, is the Holy Spirit, because of their unbelief. Here's my question on this Easter Sunday. Do you believe? Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? And if you do believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, then how is it that you don't believe all the other supernatural things, all the other promises that God promised us? Because I'm telling you what, God wants us to walk in victory completely in our life, in every single area in our life. Amen. See, here is really, come on, somebody help me out here. Here is really my only point. Here is really my only point and my question today. Will you believe what God has said? Will you believe what God said? Would Eve believe what God said? When God told her and instructed her not to eat of that fruit? Would Eve allow Satan to convince her that God's character wasn't good and that God was trying to keep something from her? Would Eve believe God? Would Noah believe God in the midst of what seemed crazy? Build an ark that took him over 100 years to build? The same ark that would eventually save him and his family? Would he have the trust God to do what God asked him to do? Would Moses be the spokesperson for God and stand before Pharaoh, the ruler of the most powerful country in the world, and speak to him and be a messenger of God and say what God is asking him to say and say, let my people go? And later on in his life, when God instructed him not to strike the rock, which he had done before, but to speak to the rock, would Moses be obedient and at that point in time allow God to lead him step by step day by day, moment by moment, and just not strike, not what he did before, but just speak to the rock. Would Abraham and Sarah believe what God had promised them for offspring at the age that they were? After they had, listen, Sarah couldn't have children even when she was young. Would she believe? Would he believe God? And then later on, would they trust and believe the word of God when God asked Abraham to get up and to sacrifice his son as a burnt offering? Would he do that? Would David run boldly at Goliath with just rocks and his slingshot, knowing and believing that God would deliver him, and knowing and believing that he had a covenant with God, and the same God that delivered him from the lion and the bear would lion him, would deliver him from this giant? Would Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trust God that God would protect them? Would they not listen to the king that was telling them, bow down and worship me, and if you don't, I'll put you in the fiery furnace? Would they trust God and do what God asked them to do, and ended up leaving that fiery furnace, not even smelling like smoke? Would Daniel stand up for what's right, knowing that if he stood up for what's right and did what God had instructed him to do, that he would be thrown into a den with lions? Would Peter obey Jesus' commandment when Jesus said, come? Would he get out of the boat and walk in the supernatural power of God by obeying what God asked him to do to come? And then later on, after he had denied Jesus 3 times, would he trust God that the blood of Jesus Christ could cleanse him from all unrighteousness? Would Paul turn his back on everything that he had known up to that time, everything that where he'd been trained and known to believe, and listen to God and recognize, and not only recognize that Jesus was the real, only, true, and living Messiah, but then go out and boldly preach it to those who would eventually kill him? And will you and I, in the midst of this coronavirus, believe that God will deliver us, what he's promised us in the Psalms, that God will deliver us from all of our troubles? Will we believe, in the midst of a bad doctor's report, that by his stripes we were healed? Will we allow God to comfort us with the power of the Holy Spirit in the midst of times in our life where we've lost loved ones that are dear to us and close to us, in times in our life where we've been hurt by those that we would have thought never would have hurt us? But will we allow the Holy Spirit to bring that comfort, as God has promised us to bring the Comforter, the Holy Spirit? And when there seems to be no way out, will we declare with boldness that Jesus is our way out? Will we declare that we are above and not beneath? Will we declare that we are the head and not the tail? Will we declare that we are the lender and not the borrower? Will we declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper? Will we believe and declare that God is for us? And if God is for us, then who can be against us? Will we declare that because of the shedded blood of Jesus Christ, that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And finally, and I say finally on this Easter, will we declare today and forever that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, that he was buried, and that on the third day God raised him from the dead. And because of that reality, that I not only have been given an opportunity to live with God forever, but because of what Christ did in raising him, God raising him from the dead, that I can live in victory in Jesus who won that for me. And I can walk on this earth and live a good life full of joy and peace and victory, constantly be filled by the power of God. And can we resolve in our lives that if God says it in his holy word, that we will believe it, because we are believing believers. May I remind you what we started with, that this is the victory, that this is the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, even our faith. I don't like to end a service that we don't give you an opportunity to accept Jesus. So right there where you're at, you don't need to be ashamed. Just say this. Say this with me. Pray this with me. Jesus, come in my heart. I believe in you. Save me from the inside out. I want to make you my Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. We believe that if you did that, you got born again right now, I would ask you to start to come every Sunday and every Wednesday. You can't come literally, but you can come on the internet. Give us a year. Let us pour into you the Word of God. We promise we'll teach you the Word of God just like I did today. And watch what will happen in your life in 1 year. Your life will be radically changed. And then for everyone else, right there in your room, if you say, Pastor, this message was for me, because there's some things that I've backed off on and the Holy Spirit convicted me, I want you to raise your hand right there. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for all these hands that are up. And I can't see them, but I know that they're up. Help us to put our trust in you, to believe in everything that you've promised, in all your promises. In Jesus' name I pray.